Narnia is it's the fourth film in the series, and we are planning to shoot it in New Zealand next winter.
Okay.
So we'd probably start prep, maybe in July or something.
Talking Beasts
from NarniaWeb.com,
where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis
and keep a watchful eye
on the latest Narnia movie news.
This is Talking Beasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back, and I'm your host, Rillian. With me today, I have my two favorite people.
Really?
On this podcast episode, yes.
Favorite Narnia podcasters. I'm Glum Puddle.
And I'm Jim Fan.
That's right, Jim Fan's back
for season three.
How long has it been? It's been a while.
It was a long time ago.
I can't even remember what was first. Was it the Susan podcast or was it the video? I'm just the producer. Why would I know these things?
Someone tell us.
So, Jim Fan, welcome back. It's been too long. Too long. And it's for those who don't know, Jim Fan is very busy all over the world. Literally, and so a lot of times it's just a scheduling thing. It's just with time zones, it's very, very difficult at times. So,
but we had to get her back because we did get a number of
hate mail. That's what it's called. It's hate
mail. I like that.
We've been
trolling,
over this, really.
Doxing. I can't tolerate it.
We call it feedback. Okay, that's the party line. We call it feedback.
I call it doxing, but whatever.
But we got some feedback saying two things, like, hey, can we get a female voice on the podcast? And can we get, we had a lot of people saying, can we get Jim Fan back on the podcast? And when I was racking my brain on how do we solve this problem, and it suddenly occurred to me that Jim Fan, you're both of those things.
Oh, it's so convenient.
And we're here to discuss all things Narnia, movies, books, Lewis, other things weird and related. And as you guys know, we're at an interesting point with the Silverchair movie news, and so we're going to go ahead and get into that. First, I thought it's easy to kind of lose perspective when you're so zoned in, like we Narnia Webbers get, on all the minutia in the news, and you're analyzing each article, rereading each quote from a director, a script writer, a producer, and I just kind of wanted to go back and look at just some of the history, where we came from, and the timelines, just so we can kind of get some better perspective. So it's good to get a little history. I had to go back through the Narnia movie, Narnia Web archives, actually, and this was really interesting. July 30th, 2002, was when we got a press release that Andrew Adamson was going to be directing The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe. That was 2002. Around October, November 2003, they started pre-production. We started getting stuff from looking at Weta, working on the prosthetics. January 2004, casting was underway. Casting notices were going out in New Zealand. April to May, we started getting news about Tilda Swinton. The Russell Crowe, Liam Neeson, Aslan rumors were flying all over the place.
Right.
We started getting our photos of the kids. And June 2004, filming was underway. The stars weren't even, the four stars of the Pevensey kids weren't even announced till July 2004.
That's right. They were actually a few days into filming when they announced the Pevensey actors.
And December 2005 is when The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was released. Fast forward, Prince Caspian was greenlit that same month, December 2005. In February 2006, we got word that Andrew Adamson was on board. February 2007, so a whole year after that, Ben Barnes was announced as the lead in Prince Caspian, and production started. And then May 2008, so about 2.5 years after, we have the movie coming out. And then fast forward even a little more, April 2007 is when we got Michael Apted announced as the director for the Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
We're actually flashing back because he was announced as they were filming Prince Caspian, he was announced as the Dawn Treader director.
Yeah.
Good point. He was announced really right after Ben Barnes was announced as the lead in Prince Caspian. So April 2007, Apted is announced as director for Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And then Voyage of the Dawn Treader was released December 10th, 2010. So 3.5 years later. Actually, a little more than 3.5 years later.
Three and a half years after?
After the announcement of Apted being announced as director.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right now, we're looking at the Silver Chair. October 2013 is when we... It's amazing. 2013 was almost five years ago, guys.
Yep.
Mark Gordon Company announced that they were going to work on the Silver Chair October 2013. December 2013, we got the news that David McGee was going to be working on it.
So that's just a couple, that's a couple months later then.
Mm-hmm. And then April 2017, like 3.5 years later after that, we get the word that Joe Johnston, director of Captain America First Avenger, is announced as the director for The Silver Chair. Now, a lot of people have been discussing kind of where we are right now. That's kind of the question. Well, where is the film right now? Where are we going to go?
Is it going to happen at all?
Yeah.
Is it going to happen at all?
Are they going to film this year? I mean, Joe Johnston said they're going to film this year, winter this year, and now we haven't heard a peep.
Yeah. And we haven't even seen leaks of concept art, but I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So, you know, people on the Talking Beast Facebook page had some different perspectives. Marcus Yoder posted, "At the moment, I'm feeling a little pessimistic about the whole thing. The fact that we haven't heard even the slightest of whispers about the film in 9 months probably can't bode well for it." And I'm going to butcher your name. I am sorry. Jenilyn Cloud Barton said, "I'm personally not too worried at this point. Production delays happen. If it gets to December, still no news, then I might start getting worried." And oh my goodness, this name is sorry. I apologize sincerely. Hapalainen, I'm kind of going with the German pronunciation. Hapalainen Lee Maria says, "My guess is this movie has been, quote, buried, unquote, under other larger projects."
So kind of a range of reactions there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So questions are, where does this put the film? Where does this put us? And here's a question for you guys. Is this, are you kind of looking at this differently now? Are you more pessimistic or more, I'll ask, are you more optimistic now than you were 6 months or a year ago?
Well, I'm not more optimistic, that's for sure.
Say what?
Shocker, I know.
You mean optimistic about the chances of the film getting made?
Absolutely not. I mean, I still feel pretty much... Well, I mean, I guess back in the spring, I started to feel like, oh, maybe this is actually possibly going to happen. No, actually, this was, I think, last winter. It was about a year ago. Almost a year ago. And it just felt like there was just more, like, buzz. And it kind of felt like, I still don't know if this is going to happen, but it kind of feels like maybe it might. And now we're back to the point where it's almost radio silence again. And it's been like, if you look at the timeline, like it's pretty stark. It's like been 5 years since this thing went into pre-production or whatever. like that, if this was any other film and I was looking at it like from a very rational stand, if I was looking at it from a very like practical standpoint, I would just be like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
The last we heard officially, or if you want to call this officially, Joe Johnston had said at Paris Comic Con late last year that, yeah, we hope to begin filming in winter of 2018. it didn't sound official. It didn't sound, it was like it was this proclamation. Yes, we're going to start filming, but he did say that is the plan. And here we are, and it doesn't look like it like you said, really, and you just would have thought we would have heard something by now if they really went, we're going to start rolling the cameras later this year. We both posted Facebook videos in the Talking Beast Facebook group kind of towards the beginning of July about, okay, Joe Johnston had said we'll probably start prep in July and for a winter 2018 filming, and here we are, it's July, and how do we feel? And at that point I said, I'm not feeling good, guys. I think I'm going to give it about 45% chance. Now I'm probably feeling probably closer to 20% or less. So you just think we would have heard something.
Mm.
I will say, I don't know if it's completely fair to compare it to the other movies' production schedules. Or as far as the timing of when announcements were made and then when the film was ultimately released, because this one had the moratorium. This one had a lot of other things going on. So for listeners that don't know, there was a legal moratorium in place after the Dawn Treader movie was released that prohibited Narnia movies from being made without Walden Media, basically. And there was negotiations going on between or they couldn't be made until about 5 years or about 5 to 7 years, I think it was. There were negotiations going on between the C.S. Lewis estate and Walden Media. And basically what it came down to, it seems like, is the C.S. Lewis estate wanted to go with a different production company. At that point, The Magician's Nephew looked like it was going to be the fourth movie. That was what they had on the table. And then it wasn't until a couple of years later, after negotiations fell apart with Walden, that Gresham said, actually, I'm trying to get Silver Chair made, and I want to make it independently. A very important point I'll probably come back to later in this discussion. But yeah, to answer the question, like I really felt, if you'd asked me end of last year, what are the odds of the Silver Chair filming in late 2018, I think I would have said, I'd say about 70%. I think fairly likely. I'm a little disappointed that's not going to happen. And just to quickly finish here, I've seen comments all the time, you know, people on the Facebook group and in comments saying, nothing's happening, this is taking forever. And of course, you know, the three of us have been anticipating movies long enough to know that just because they're not announcing anything doesn't mean nothing's happening. But there are reasons, like every step of the way, I've understood the reasons why it's taking a while. The moratorium and, oh, now they've got the production company set up. Oh, now they've got Sony and E1 and TriStar. I can see where the financing and, oh, Joe Johnson, director. There's the things slowly coming together. I understand the reasons why it's taking a very long time. This is if they don't start filming, if they don't start rolling the cameras this year, then I will start to be among those people in the comments where I'm kind of saying, feels like we could be in development hell. And if they don't start rolling the cameras here this year, which seems likely, I think we can start wondering, is Joe Johnston even going to direct this movie?
I think that's kind of fair. I mean, you know, even kind of skipping back to the timeline, granted, they weren't going to start much work on the Voyage of the Dawn Treader before Prince Caspian came out. But, you know, we heard about Joe Johnston in April 2017. You know, we heard about Michael Apted April 2007. The movie came out December 2010. So if we were, let's say we were following that exact same timeline, the movie would come out December 2020. So, and I think you make a very good point about just the reasons for the delay. Because you could look at like infamous examples like The Hobbit, you know,
that took forever.
It took forever. Which, you know, MGM held rights, which they didn't.
When did the first Hobbit movie come out? And I think it was about 2013, which would have been 10 years after 10 years after Lord of the Rings finished up. That's how, even though it was a sure thing, it was a hit. It's a matter of time before they make it. It still took them that long to sort out all the legal trouble.
Yeah,
exactly. And so I think that, and I remember, I mean, Steven Spielberg's movie Lincoln came out in 2012. I was hearing about the movie Lincoln in 2007.
Yeah.
It was well known that Liam Neeson. Spielberg wanted to make, he wanted to make a Lincoln movie with starring Liam Neeson. And I think that, you know, we're all kind of cautiously, we don't want to be too pessimistic because we all know, hey, things can happen. Things can get slowed down for forever. Someone on the Facebook group did point out, and I just double checked, Joe Johnston still says that he's directing The Silver Chair on his Twitter page. Says currently directing The Chronicles of Narnia, The Silver Chair, which I think is kind of interesting. But, you know, at this point, I'm going to be honest. I would have been kind of surprised if they started. Like, I thought, man, if we start hearing news about production starting in the summer, that would be awesome. Because usually we start getting some kind of pre-production videos or more things when we start seeing pre-production stuff. And just because the film's in pre-production doesn't mean it's going to get made, or even production, or even post-production, if you really want to go into film history. But so I guess to a certain extent, I looking at the pace of it, I just wasn't expecting it to really start that quickly. If I'm kind of, I'm going to put myself 6 months behind you, Glenn Puddle. If they don't start filming in the 6 months, in the first half of 2019, then I'm going to start thinking this movie's in development hell and it just might not get made.
Yeah, I think for me, like you mentioned, like you're not quite at the point where you are like fearing that this movie is in developmental hell or whatever. I'm more close of the point where like I'm not even worried about filming. I just want to just hear that it's actually, you know, actively being worked on besides just a director and a screenwriter. Like, if I feel like, okay, it's stuff is being worked on, there's concept art being going out, they're putting out casting feel, you know, it's like they're working their way to that point. I just personally don't even see them working their way to that point. And
well, I even, sorry, go ahead.
No, that was pretty much the sum up of that, which is I don't even feel like it's at the point where we could be filming in 3 months or 6 months. I really don't.
Well, and I, not too long ago, I went to my church men's breakfast, and the pastor looks at me, he goes, "So, what's the status on the silver chair? Is this thing going to happen, or is it in development?" And I was like, "Well, you know."
Well, here's the thing. So I will say, Joe has mentioned a couple times that I'm working with some designers. He mentioned that several months ago. He also talked about bringing on an art director. So some pre-production work has very, very likely been done. There are designs. I don't know if actual sets have been built, but there's every reason to believe that like the script has gone through a few drafts and there's designs and things planned out and they're trying to do budgeting. There's every plan that there's like they've probably figured out more or less what Puddle Glum is going to look like. And the reason they don't, you have to understand, like, it's, the three of us have been through this a lot, where you're following a movie for a very long time. And, we know that there's no reason to announce anything unless it's actually set in stone, unless you're actually ready to start marketing the movie. And right now, it's a funny thing. It's like they've got everything in place and they can't quite get over that hump. It's like I was at Busch Gardens in Tampa, Florida one time on this roller coaster, and it's a super long line, and I'm sitting on this roller coaster with probably 15 other people, and we get to the very, very top. It takes like 60 seconds to get to the top, and we're about to start going down, and it just dead stops instantly, and the ride breaks down. fortunately, they had a... It's like that. Fortunately, they had a little this hidden safety access thing that they got us all off, and they gave us like free passes to get to the front of our next line. But it's like that. There's this feeling of they've got Mark Gordon Company, they've got financing and distribution from E1, Sony, TriStar. They've got Joe Johnston. They've got a great screenwriter who has a name. David McGee wrote Finding Neverland and Life of Pi, and they're just on the edge. And they can't quite get over that hump. So that tells me that the delay is being caused by a bunch of people sitting around in a boardroom. And I'll tell you right now what I think it is, and I've gotten challenged on this in the forum a few times, but my perception of this is they're trying to make another $100 million Narnia movie. They're trying to make another blockbuster. They're not listening to Glumpuddle's advice. They're trying to make a huge blockbuster, again, that could compete with the Marvel movies. And here's the big problem with that. Douglas Gresham wants complete control of the script. It was even before Mark Gordon Company was announced. Gresham said, "I want to make the movie independently." And I think all he meant by that was, "I want complete control of the script." We've got this very difficult ask that the C.S. Lewis estate and Gresham want to make a $100 million Narnia movie and have complete creative control over it. That is a huge ask from any production studio that has money to say, give us $100 million, but we don't want you to have any control over it. And I think they knew that was a big ask. And even in October 2013, when the Mark Gordon Company was first announced, there were theories that, it's kind of strange. They don't have a release date. They don't have a director or anything. But they're doing this press release, and there's this sense of rah-rah about it. Mm-hmm. There was a theory that maybe they're sort of doing a ready, fire, aim kind of approach. They're trying to say, yeah, we're doing that, and create this buzz on the internet. Then they can go to the negotiating table and say, hey, look, we own this property that a lot of people are excited about. Give us money and we'll go make it. And maybe people would be willing to take a chance on it. But maybe that buzz didn't really happen. And so now it's just, you know, on one side you've got Gresham and the estate of the Mark Gordon Company saying, give us $100 million, but we want creative control. And Sony is sort of like, I don't know, maybe $40 million, or maybe we can do $100, but we can have a Jill Eustace romance or whatever. I think that's the stalemate we're at right now. And that tends to be what causes stalemates in movies. It's
money.
At that boardroom table saying who gets the money and who gets the creative control. Yeah. Basically, who assumes more risk.
And I do agree with this for the most part in that if you look at it, like when I kind of look at what kind of movies are being made right now, what kind of movies are popular, what kind of movies are in production, fantasy book adaptations are not really out there. Like I know that is it Disney? They're rebooting his Dark Materials. I know that is in the pipeline. I know that is.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it's
I hadn't even heard about that.
Yeah, no, they're doing that. I think it's in filming now, actually.
Seriously?
I only know this because I know Lin-Manuel Miranda's in it. I know that's something that's in the future pipeline, but as far as anything else, I don't really hear of a lot of other things being made. Like I hear about a lot of superhero. Right. I hear about a lot of, you know, those kind of movies.
It's all nostalgia.
Right. So when someone is sitting at there and like, okay, what movies do I think are going to be a good investment? I put my money into this movie. It's going to make me a return whether or not I get a lot of say in it just because it has a, you know, people are going to go see it. I'm not necessarily right now going to be like, yeah, people are going to go see The Silver Chair. Because I don't know.
Unfortunately, I think that right now we're in an interesting era where, and a lot of things are changing. The cable industry is changing. The theater industry is changing. Everyone's trying to find new ways to make money. Marvel is dominating. They release a movie that no one knew about that character a year ago, and it's going to make $1 billion. Mm-hmm. It's really astounding. And I don't have... I have some thoughts on it, but I don't really have a very good pulse on exactly what's happening. But part of it is I think there's a desire, or at least there's an inclination that the franchise will drive the cash. Mm-hmm. Pirates of the Caribbean will make lots of money because it's a big franchise. It doesn't have to be the best film.
Because it has Pirates of the Caribbean in the title, and so there's already a built-in
Transformers
audience.
Is going to make a lot of money. A Marvel movie is going to make a lot of money.
Bond movie, Mission Impossible.
Yeah, and you're starting to see... maybe there's some better wisdom prevailing, because, you know, there's some, you know, people are looking at Star Wars. They're seeing some films that, like, well, it did well, but it didn't do as well. And then there's some films that actually are looking like... I'm hearing that Solo is going to lose money for Disney. Mm. I don't know if it actually is, but...
Well, it's certainly a disappointment. I don't know if it'll lose money, but it was a disappointment.
And I don't know, like, for example, I don't know the budget for A Wrinkle in Time, but it was obvious...
Losing money.
I think it obviously lost money. The grossing right now is 132 plus worldwide, 132 million. And I think just with looking at the cast alone, I think it's easy to see that movie probably costs a lot more to make. And, you know, you look at that movie versus, say, and we've referenced this again and again, don't watch it unless your parents approve, kids, but the movie Pan's Labyrinth, the movie only grossed $83 million worldwide, and the production budget was $19 million. It was a very well-made film. I mean, it doesn't suffer for quality.
That is almost the best Narnia adaptation done, I think, is Pan's Labyrinth.
It would be a Last Battle adaptation, don't get me
but
wrong.
But it just captures so much of the tone and the atmosphere and the magic. It's not exactly what Narnia should be, but... Anyway,
it's very dark, but
great movie.
But I think that maybe there will be some cooler heads who look and say, hey, you know what? Maybe we can accomplish a Pan's Labyrinth or a District 9 and get solid reviews.
I wish they would do
solid
that.
Critical reviews, and it will make money. They need to make money. That's fine. They're in business to
make
money.
Not as many people will go see it, and they don't have to.
They don't have to. But, and you know, like, I don't know. Like, sometimes when I think about a good... well-made movie, that just looks magical. I haven't seen it yet. I really want to see Christopher Robin. I've heard it's very good. My boss just went to see it and said it was that he really liked it. and it's getting very decent reviews. I think it's 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I like Ewan McGregor. So sometimes I wonder, would that just do better? But right now I think that people are looking at it, oh, it was this franchise, but I mean, and you may be right, Glumpuddle, but then would they not have learned the lessons of, first of all, Prince Caspian, which was a disappointment, and then also Voyage to Dawn Treader, where they were really forced to scale it back and put 95% of the budget into the Sea Serpent Battle at the end.
Right. I think, you know, Jim Fenn, you were talking about the like the kinds of movies that are being made right now, and you listed some more, really. And it's basically, it's nostalgia. It's let's find something that maybe hasn't been around for a while, and let's bring it back. And there'll be the novelty of, oh, that thing is back. And I think Narnia is, you can certainly see where it's attempting, it's probably a property that a studio can get relatively cheaply, and hope that, well, certainly there's name recognition with Chronicles of Narnia, so maybe we could bring this in. But it's, I think it's at an awkward distance from Dawn Treader, where kind of the situation the Spider-Man reboots are in, where it hasn't been long enough for bringing Narnia back to go, oh, interesting, I remember that. It hasn't been long enough to have that feeling.
Like Blade Runner.
Yeah, exactly. Blade Runner, where it's been a while, and it's at least attention getting, like, oh, Blade Runner, interesting, and that's back.
I watched that when I was in college.
So I think it hasn't quite been long enough. So they're at this kind of awkward distance right now. And I must say, it pains me to be talking about The Silver Chair and comparing it to, like, Wrinkle in Time and Pirates of the Caribbean, and trying to compare it to that. I wish they would. I know I've said this 100 times, and forgive me, listeners. You could just do that little skip forward 15, 30 seconds button on your iPhone and just get me here. I think that, I don't know if it's Gresham, but I think someone has it in their head with the Narnia that you've got to make it a big Lord of the Rings thing. And I almost wonder if with Gresham, speculating, is it like a friendly jealousy where Tolkien got these three amazing adaptations, Lord of the Rings, and they were very successful, very profitable, and most people acknowledge, and the essence of Lord of the Rings is still there. They're fair adaptations. And I can imagine Gresham going, Narnia deserves the same thing, and I understand that. But all the things we're talking about with, you know, recognizability and having to attract so many people and the risk and struggling over creative control, so much of this goes away if we just try to make a smaller movie and market to a niche audience. I think we'll get a better movie, more people that go to see it will like it, and the risk is less. But yes, that means the potential for making profit, exposing more people to the stories. Yeah, you're not going to get as many people, but I think we'd just be happier overall. By the way, here's another one to compare it to is Jumanji, which is a Sony release. the Jumanji reboot, that's the example I was trying to think of, that came out just last year, I think, wasn't it? And now that was a very, very successful, like, Sony's been trying for years to get a hit, and Jumanji was finally a hit. By the way, who directed the original Jumanji?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Joe Johnston. And so the Jumanji, that should have been the Stump and Arnie Weber question.
Right.
Jumanji comes out, and finally Sony's got a big hit. They struck out a couple times, like with Spider-Man, and finally they've got a big hit. And that's kind of where my mind went first when, I think it was when they hired Joe Johnston, that they mentioned humor in the, Narnia action adventure humor. And I'm like, why would they mention humor? That's weird. And I just hope they're not trying to make, going, oh, well, this is because Hollywood works, right? Well, Jumanji was a hit, and there's tons of humor in Jumanji. Well, why can't Narnia be like that? I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the battle that's being fought right now. Is on one side, you've got Gresham and the C.S. Lewis estate saying, we want to make this Silver Chair movie for $100 million. And on the other side, you've got Sony going, okay, maybe, if you let us make it like Jumanji, basically. In the Talking Beast Facebook group, Josiah posted the joke about there being a Jumanji Narnia crossover. and I kind of laughed, but I was kind of like, this feels too real.
Too soon.
Don't post it on April Fool's or it'll happen.
Yeah, bad idea.
But I don't even know if it would be something like a jealousy over the Lord of the Rings, but I do think that
maybe
there is
jealousy might be too strong of a word, but
at the studio level, there is this. I think they look at, oh my goodness, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movie, boom, $750 million worldwide, did very well. People liked it, and so I think they're going, oh my goodness, we can recreate it. We can do it again. How can we do it again? Let's see. Battles, snow. Well, the snow didn't work in the teaser trailer for the Voices of Dawn Treader, but that's okay. We'll try it again. We'll have a snow scene, somewhere. You know, with the, you know, the letters in the wall or something, you know.
Yeah.
So, first,
I want to issue a correction in what I said earlier, in that his Dark Materials is being produced by the BBC as a TV miniseries. Excuse me. So,
ooh, now I'm kind of interested.
Yeah, so that's who is producing it. But it's still a thing. It's still happening. So that's what I just was throwing back there. There are some fantasy stuff in the pipelines. But again, it's on BBC. It's not a movie.
You know,
so is
I'd
that the direction that things are going? Like, is it going to be more cable, Netflix, whatever? And that's a whole other conversation.
I would be interested in seeing a BBC series redo of the current. Yeah.
Another BBC Narnia. Wouldn't that be interesting?
How would we tell them apart? By the lack of puppets, probably.
I think we'd figure it out.
Lack of puppets.
Yeah, it just as far as like with the move with Silverchair and everything, I firmly believe that good things come to those who wait. In terms of if it feels like something is being pushed to happen just to make it so, maybe it's not the right time. Maybe it's not the right people. Maybe, you know, it's just kind of step back, regroup, find a company that's going to work with you. Wait until the tide has turned and these kind of you find the thing that you want. But I just there will be no good will come of trying to make something out of nothing. If Silverchair is not meant to be, it's not meant to be, and we do not want a crappy film. I would rather have no film than a crappy film, and I think we
can
all agree with that.
Yeah.
So if we do get a movie, I hope that it is because it happened organically. It happened because the right people were doing it and they were able to get the right sort of circumstances to align, and that not it was not just like kind of forced into being, because I don't think that will be beneficial to anyone.
Yeah, I definitely think as far as timing with making sure the script's in the right place, the people are in the right place, that's so important. And we should consider it an advantage that at this point, even if you loved Will Poulter, which I think the three of us enjoyed Will Poulter,
loved,
but the fact that we don't have to try to rush this out anymore. The Will Poulter ship has sailed, and now it's time to, okay, there's no reason to rush into this. And maybe the delay is as simple as, you know, Jumanji, it was not expected to make so much money, now it did, and now the sequel's coming out in December 2020. Maybe that was where Silverchair was going to be initially, or somewhere around there, and they don't want to compete with themselves. It could be that simple. And Josiah messaged me on Facebook, or he posted a message on Facebook also pointing out that there's so much, you know, just looking at a lot of the Sony, some of the movies they have planned. And he was saying, actually read it here. Josiah said that Sony currently has a ridiculously large number of superhero movies in development. Spider-Man, or the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming, Venom, there's a Spider-Man animated movie, Silk, Jackpot, Nightwatch, Black Cat, Silver Sail, blah, blah. He lists a whole bunch of franchises they have going on. And he says, they're just cranking them out at this point. In addition to those, they have Men in Black and Charlie's Angels. They've got so much. And then he just says, where would Silver Chair fit into this? And I just think, you know, Sony was announced a few years ago as buying this, and they have a history, like a lot of studios do, of scooping up these cheap things like Smurfs
and
trying to, okay, we can get this cheap. Maybe we can make something out of this.
The Emoji Movie.
Sometimes it works. Gosh. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
Wait, did you watch that?
I did not watch
the
Emoji Movie.
I did not watch it, but I've heard about it.
I don't think anyone watched the Emoji Movie. Like, there were 5 reviewers on Rotten Tomatoes. They all gave it a thumbs down. They couldn't get anyone else to go.
Gave it a little emoji sad face. But yeah, sorry, listeners, if you didn't know that the studio that's currently involved with making the Silver Chair made the Emoji Movie. I'm sorry to ruin your day. I'm sorry to ruin your lunch.
But it is a challenge. It's hard enough to not... I mean, you got to choose your competition well, first of all. I mean, that was one of the issues we think with Prince Caspian competing against Iron Man and Indiana Jones 4. But, I mean, in addition to that, I mean, it's hard enough now just not to compete against yourself.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Marvel does as good a job as they do spacing and Disney spacing out all their movies.
That's my theory of why we still haven't seen a Frozen sequel. I think Disney didn't expect that to be such a huge hit. And they looked up and went, okay, we've just bought Star Wars and Marvel. When the heck do we release a Frozen sequel?
Make another $1 billion.
Yeah, it's really hard being Disney, you know? It's like, well, we've got so many successful franchises. Where do we release them all?
My heart is bleeding for them.
Oh, my gosh. Can we start a Kickstarter for Disney or something? it must be a GoFundMe. It must be so difficult being Disney right now.
Well, at least they don't have Narnia to worry about anymore.
Oh, boy. No, they do not. Though if they picked it up.
I wouldn't be mad.
You did better in the past when it was with
I wouldn't be mad if they came back. But I still, like, I'd rather have a smaller studio do, like, a Netflix series or something. But like you said, JimFan, I really want to echo this point. Post a comment if you disagree. Or if you agree. Whatever. We can get some positive comments, too. But... Look, the books are the books. They're fine. We don't need if they never make any more Narnia adaptations, maybe that's, I would call that a missed opportunity, but it's not like a piece of me will die. It's not like I'll forever be missing something. The books are the books. They're complete and they're perfect. Well, no, they're not perfect, but they're awesome and I love them. We would much rather see not see a movie at all than to see a bad movie.
Absolutely.
Definitely there.
I agree.
And but it's hard living in this no man's land where we're just not sure where we're at right now. But, you know, JimFan, you said good things come to those who wait. And I think good things will come to Narnie Webbers like Cleander. Gotta give Narnie Webber Cleander a shout out, who I think starting on the last podcast of season two started commenting a count. I think it was right when July started. He started posting a countdown comments. I think it was in July, like July 1st, he started posting 29 days until an announcement of some kind, because Joe Johnson had said prep in July. And he kept doing that every single day, and I think he's still doing it, even though it didn't happen in July. I think there's that disappointment of a lot of Narnie Webbers felt that we really thought it was going to happen. And we're going to see a Silver Tree movie. There are reasons to be optimistic. You know, most people love David McGee, and I really want to see that script. I really want to see what that's about. And maybe Cleander, maybe that was an attempt to will it into existence. But Cleander, thank you so much. Sorry if I'm saying your screen name wrong. Thank you so much for the enthusiasm and the optimism. And it's that kind of dedication and enthusiasm that makes Narnie Web Narnie
Web. He's living like a Narnian, even if there isn't any Narnia.
Oh, really? And just texted me, ready to move on to something else. I guess we are.
I was going to be all subtle about it, but...
He's like, watch, it's ticking.
Are we done
about
talking?
Something else?
Well, we've got a stump question first, don't we?
Was that before something else?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. I would say. We're still figuring this out, guys. This is the first episode. It is, in fact, time to stump an Arnie Webber. Nice job trying to dodge it, Rillian. Rillian, are you ready for the first Stump a Narnie Webber question of the season?
Good luck.
Your question. Listing the books by publication order, what is the first book to mention Arkenland? Which one does the... Why are you looking at your phone?
I was going to throw in the Siri chime. It's going to be funny.
We live according to the values that are in these books we discuss so much. So Rillian's not going to look it up with Siri.
No, I'm not. Which one mentioned Arkenland first? Let's see.
And again, we're going with publication order. So Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, Don Treader, so on. Which of those
mentions Arkenland first?
First... come up with the name Arkenland, basically, and release it to the public.
That's a tough one. I don't think it's...
You could always guess. You have a 1 in 7 chance of being right.
Thanks. Well, the safe bet is the silver chair.
Obviously it was mentioned in Horse and His Boy. We know that.
I came after.
Well, but the Horse and His Boy is mentioned in the silver chair.
Oh, that's true.
So that's the safe bet. I am going to, because I'm just trying to remember, because there was so much discussion about geography and history in Prince Caspian. I don't remember if anyone mentioned Ark and Land and Lion Lips in the Wardrobe, but I don't remember it. So I'm going to guess Prince Caspian.
So you're saying that going with publication order, Prince Caspian is the first book to mention Ark and Land. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Rillian, Prince Caspian is correct.
Woo!
That's how it's done!
Great start to the season. It's in Chapter 5 of Prince Caspian. Dr. Cornelius recommends that Caspian go to King Nain in Arkenland after escaping from Miraz, but obviously it doesn't go as planned.
I was wondering if Caspian, he had discussions. Okay.
Great job narrowing it down there. I wasn't sure about that one either. So.
Good job.
Voices of Narnia Web.
Hi, Narnia Web. This is Jonathan Paper. My first introduction to the Chronicles of Narnia was either the BBC series, the 4 series, or the books. I read my mother's box set from the 1970s, which had a green cover and wonderful pictures on the outside of different creatures and characters from Narnia. I liked the BBC version, and I can't remember which one I encountered first, the show or the books. Living in Istanbul, Turkey at the time, I knew that the word Aslan also means lion in Turkish, which I believe C.S. Lewis knew. So as I believe reading the books, I would use the word Aslan, the way the Turkish people pronounce that word. I really like the character of Edmund and his interaction with Aslan and the White Witch, because it reminds me of my Christian faith and what Jesus did for us by sacrificing himself in that way, a very similar way. I love the magical characters of the world, and I like the idea that we see so much from Calamon in the south to the northern lands in the Silver Chair, and also the end of the world in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which I've just finished reading for the 3rd or 4th time. I'm rereading the books in a hardcover box set. I've got the colouring book. I just love the feeling of wonder and mystery and excitement, and I can't wait to share these with my children if I have any in the future.
If you want to share what the Chronicles of Narnia means to you, send your voice to the email address in the episode description.
All right, now I think we're done talking about Narnia.
And now it's time for something else. The part of the show where Narnia Webbers talk about something else.
So, Jinfan, tell us about this.
So, something else is a new segment that we have decided to implement for season 3. And basically what it is it's just going to be a few minutes at the end of some of our episodes where we're just going to take a chance to kind of sit back and maybe I'll ask everyone a random question like, what kind of food could you never live without? And you have to answer it. Or it'll be, tell me something about this, or what do you feel about this? It'll be just something kind of random, a little bit more personal, kind of just fun. And just kind of give everyone a chance to get to know us better. Because when you think about it, we've been doing this podcast I've been doing it for about 11 years now. I think you guys have been doing it for, 13?
Yep.
And maybe there's things about us that you have no idea about, such as ourselves, like kind of a brief bio. I know that in the past we've probably brought up certain things about our, like, who we are and what we do and things like that, but I just wanted to take a minute and just give a chance for each of us to kind of introduce ourselves a little bit, start off the season on a fresh note, and to some of our new listeners who maybe haven't gone back that far, just kind of get to know us a little bit better. So I can go first if you want.
Do it.
All right. So I am 28 years old. I grew up in Southern California. I am number 3 of 11 kids. I was homeschooled. So yay, homeschoolers. I did not discover Narnia until I was 15. So it actually hasn't been that long, all things considered. I lived in Taiwan for 3 years. I was a volunteer English teacher. That's why I wasn't on the podcast very much the last couple years, just because time zones are rough. But currently, I'm back in the States. I live in Chicago. I'm working as an administrative assistant. And one fun fact about myself that most people don't know. I love music. I love to sing. Actually, a lot of people know that, but I would think Narnia Webbers probably don't know that I like doing musicals. I've done a couple. The last one I did was Hunchback of Notre Dame, and that was extremely fun. So that's just a little bit about me. And Rillian, you can go next.
Well, my name is not actually Rillian.
No.
I was born in Kansas. And people say that's why I don't have an accent. They say people from Kansas don't have accents. But actually, I don't think any of us really have that. We're kind of all almost like generic Midwestern accents almost.
Except I wasn't raised in the Midwest.
Yeah. That's weird. I was also homeschooled from second grade through high school. Went to university afterwards. And my dad read Narnia to me, a lot of you know this, when I was a little kid. And so I've been a fan, reading them on my own for a long time. And I'm 30 now, and I have a wife and little boy. And I have worked we moved 5 times in 5 years for work. My wife is exceedingly patient. And fun fact about myself, I'm trying to remember if I've mentioned this before, but I have for about 15 years now, I've been a competitive and historical fencer. So I've competed in various fencing tournaments, which isn't saying a whole lot. I mean, there's lots of tournaments all over the place. And I did get to compete in the the North American Cup one time. That was fun. Saw a lot of very good fencers there who later went on to, I think, Time magazine covers and stuff. And then I've also done historical fencing. So I'm going to miss rapier and saber, historical rapier tournament coming up that I competed in last year. And so because I'm going to be going camping with my dad in the Rocky Mountains. So
that's everything there is to know about you.
That's everything there is to know about me. Yeah.
Very concise. Gosh, well, hopefully people will still want to listen after they get to know us a little bit.
Even though I was homeschooled, I did not make my own clothes or churn my own butter, just for the record.
I have churned my own butter once. It was for a school project.
I, however, have recovered.
Okay, I guess I'm up. So I'm Brian, and I'm also married. I'm married to a fellow Narnia Webber, actually. And I've been working as a video producer for several years and doing mostly public relations stuff. I also have a beard now, and that's it. That's all I have to say. No.
When he was saying, I just kind of give up on Silverchair, that's why. He just quit shaving.
I've been trying to...
Oh, exactly. Boy. It might be a long time.
Well, I don't know. Even if we are stuck in development hell, I still might be able to grow a beard by then. Because I've been working on this for about 2 months now. Still not proud of it. So that's what's on my mind these days. I grew up in Florida. I have a big family, not quite as big as Jim Fans, but pretty close. I always loved making movies. I remember when one of my youngest siblings was being born, I made a movie. I was at the hospital waiting for, you know, the sister to come out, and was bored and was playing with the video camera. And I made a little movie where with my action figures where each one represented one of the names we were considering, and they were all fighting each other. Oh, I'm sorry. this is my youngest brother, actually. Sorry, and he listens. So I should definitely correct that. Sorry about that. It was my youngest brother. And like, I think I had Darth Maul playing one of the names, and I had I did a bunch of random Star Wars characters, and I just made a little video about them fighting it out. And finally, after we picked one, I had that name win. So I was always making movies and talking about movies. And remember, my dad was actually initially would kind of occasionally say to me, "Yeah, Brian, you got to stop thinking so much about movies." And I persisted. And eventually, he went, "Oh, maybe this is something that Brian's just really into, and we could do something productive with this." And so he got me an internship at a communications department of a local government, and I ran with it. Studied telecom production in college, got my bachelor's, and I still enjoy making movies all the time. And outside of Narnia and movies, I'm really passionate about working with kids, and volunteer at my local church all the time. Any chance I get to work with little kids, I really, really love. And I really appreciate how Lewis, I guess we're not supposed to talk about Narnia, but does a really good job, I think, capturing the talking about children in a way that's not demeaning, that doesn't say, "Oh, they're so silly." Like, he really takes their concerns really, really seriously. So I guess that's about all there is to say about me. So please continue to listen anyway, though.
I think people will, now that we've unearthed our deepest, darkest secrets, hopefully we still have an audience. No, I'm just kidding. If anyone has any suggestions for any just sort of random topics you would like us to kind of cover for this segment, give us a shout out in a comment or send us an email.
Or the Facebook group.
Or the Facebook group, yes. And we will definitely take those into consideration because I am open to all suggestions. Well, not all, but most.
Cool. All right. Good season 3 intro.
Good season 3 opening, everyone. Well done. Glumpal, why don't you give an outline of what we can expect from this 3rd season?
Well, yeah. When we were closing out season 2, I had all these ideas and plans for what we're going to do in season 3. And of course, we asked for feedback too, but I was I'm hoping all this goes in the trash because the Silver Chair will start filming and then we'll just have to start doing mostly podcasts about that. But luckily we kind of planned for what if it doesn't happen, because it looks like that probably won't happen. But what we're looking at with season 3, of course, the last season we did was mostly Horse and His Boy commentary stuff, and we will finish the Horse and His Boy commentary. We just have a few more episodes to get through that. But I think this season will be more topic based. We picked out a number of topics that, for whatever reason, we haven't covered on the podcast yet. And I outlined a handful of those in the Talking Beast Facebook group. And if you have ideas for topics, please post them below or post them there. But yeah, welcome to the 3rd and hopefully best season of Talking Beasts. Most notable thing, I guess, to say is that we're changing up our release schedule so that after this episode's coming out on August 25th, but with the exception of this episode, we're going to start releasing episodes on the 7th and 17th of each month. So 7 is a good Narnia. 7 is a good number, a wise man once said. It's a good Narnia too, okay?
It's a good Narnia number.
Yeah, every 7th and 17th, look for a new episode. And they'll be a little different. So episodes released on the 7th will be pretty much what you're used to, a regular discussion. We'll have a Stump a Narnia Weber trivia question, where we test the limits of our Narnia knowledge. And we'll have a new segment called Something Else. Then on the 17th of each month, the episodes on the 7th will be much more laid back. I'm sorry, no, strike that. I think we're figuring this out. It's a work in progress. The episodes on the 7th will be about 45 minutes and kind of a regular discussion. Episodes on the 17th will be more laid back and maybe even a little more personal. Still Narnia related, of course, for the most part, but more laid back. And those will be about 20 minutes. And those will have the Voices of Narnia web segment at the end, where you guys can submit audio files just talking about what Narnia means to you and get your voices out there, literally. So that's kind of the plan. And over the course of this season, we will
continue the Horse and His Boy commentary. I don't know if we'll finish it. I don't want to promise anything. I did say we're going to conclude it, but now I'm kind of wondering, looking at some of the topic ideas we've come up with. But yeah, that is the plan for season three. And please continue to post comments and interact in the comments section below and in the Talking Beast Facebook group and let us know what you think and what you want. Are you ready for the outro to the season three intro?
The outro to the intro?
The outro for the intro. Okay. Jim Fan, you've never read an outro before. Do you want to read it?
I really, no, not today. Thank you.
Oh, it'll be more fun if you do it without practicing, please.
No, I really, no.
Go.
Can't make me.
Go.
Okay, if we get enough comments, we're going to make Jim Fan read one.
I'll do it next time.
Okay, next time you're on. We're going to do Horse and His... You're going to be away the next couple episodes.
Next one.
We'll get
you. That's
why she
said the next one.
Or I'll just edit through the episode and pick out the words.
There it
is. Edit them all
do
together.
It. Please do that. If you do that, that would be amazing.
All right, guess it's on you, Rillian.
You've been listening to Talking Beasts, a NarniaWeb.com podcast. Be sure to subscribe and post a comment below or in the Talking Beasts Facebook group. You can also email us at podcast@narniaweb.com, Rillian@narniaweb.com, jimfan15@narniaweb.com, or glumpuddle@narniaweb.com. Special thanks to the rest of our podcast team, AJ Aiken, Ryidian, and the Rose Tree Dryad. For the latest news on the Silverchair movie, visit narniaweb.com. A new episode of The Talking Beasts is posted on the 7th and 17th of every month. Until then, further up and further in.
So it's a new episode of Talking Beast, not The Talking Beast.
I know.
How could you?
But we'll let that one go. But we will in fact be back on September the 7th, and Rillian and I are going to continue the Horse and His Boy commentary at that point.
So stay tuned.
Without me, because I'll be in Europe.
That was good.